Hey, this is a dark tangent. Organizer of DEF CON. You're about to listen to some speeches from DEF CON 3, held July 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Tropicana Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, 1995. Now, the Tropicana has since been renovated. This speech and all speeches are copywritten, all rights reserved, the Dark Tangent, and DEF CON Communications. Permission is expressly granted, though, for educational, non-profit use. If you have any more questions about DEF CON, or want to send me some email about the copyright status, please email me at dt@defcon.org, or the website is www.defcon.org. Now, kick back, get ready for some good speeches, and thanks for supporting it.
Okay, well, at least we've got the title of the talk up there. Okay, sorry about the technical difficulties here. Several suggestions for different hardware that might work better, different operating systems than the one that's running. All I have really on the slides are just some clues to me as I go through this. First of all, I'd like to thank DT and everybody here for having me speak. I've talked at a fair number of different conferences, and I don't think I've ever been quite this nervous because this is a slightly unusual situation. I mean, if you were at a golfing convention, it would be unlikely to have someone on the program talking about why golfing sucks. I we can talk about that if you like. I don't understand why the ball is so small, the stick is so small, and if you've got those carts, why you don't pick the ball up and drive it over to the hole and drop it in, you know? Or if we were at a fishing convention, why, you wouldn't find someone on the agenda talking about why fishing sucks. Although actually, you might not know this, but over in Britain, they have people who do believe that and who make it their job to go around and disrupt people fishing. And this is... Have you got a glass of water? No, this is true. They're very sophisticated. They use two-way radios to coordinate, find a group of people fishing on the bank of a river or something, and then they split into two teams. And one goes down the bank of the river with sticks and noisemakers and things like that to kind of annoy the fisher people. And then the second team, which is more subtle, has scuba gear and swims along that part of the river to scare away the fish. You guys think I'm making this up? No, honestly, I've seen a BBC documentary about this, and this is true. In the footage I saw, there was actually a fight, and I don't think it was staged. But the guys in the scuba gear go along and scare away the fish and cut the lines. Which is sort of an interesting example of how serious you can get about a point of view which is not generally held in society. So this is an unusual group of people. People, I think, with very open minds. And I'd have to say that, thanks very much, the time I've spent here I've really enjoyed and I've been very impressed. Now, of course, this might all be a front in this room. There may be absolutely diabolical things going on in the back room that I've not been invited to, but I've been treated with a lot of respect and courtesy, and I really appreciate that. It's kind of rude of me to maybe put this up here and say, why hacking sucks. But if you'll bear with me, I want to go over a couple of reasons that might back up this statement. And if you read the program notes earlier, it said Stephen Cobb will play devil's advocate. Now, that is to say, I'm not going to necessarily say what I think about the statements that follow till I've heard some input from you guys. You'll have to bear with the machine here while it kind of clicks and whirs. Yeah, that's me. I'm possibly going to suggest it serves no useful purpose and is a menace to society. Okay, let's say hacking sucks because it violates people's right to privacy. Okay? People who call themselves hackers break into machines and read people's mail, which is not something I would tolerate in my front garden at my mailbox. People go into machines and take information out and publicize it when the people who own that information don't want that to happen. Hacking increases the cost of computers and communications. If we were to do some of the things that have been talked about in the last couple of days, that would add to the cost of things. An example, if you've seen the video Hack Attack, which is actually, I would say, one of the better mainstream video treatments of the subject, a statistic in there, or a figure in there, is that the cost of cellular fraud is allowed to be charged back to customers. Under the way that the charge structure and the regulation of cellular calls is set up, in most states, I think this is the case, the cost of fraud can be charged back to the customer. So if there's a lot of cellular phone fraud, then the people who legitimately use cellular phones are going to pay more. The fact that people keep trying to break into systems, you could argue, increases the cost of defending those systems, which makes them more expensive. It causes problems for other people. If you're the guy who's running the network for Megabucks Corporation, and you come in on Monday morning and the network has been hacked and trashed, it's causing you a problem. Now, some people might say, well, if it was so easy for me to get in there that I was able to do all that, the guy should have a problem. And we can maybe come back to that discussion later. Other people would say, well, who invited you in to give him that problem? It causes problems for people who are designing systems. It causes problems for people whose privacy is affected. It deters people from using computers and communications. I don't have hardcore data on this, but I think I could very easily put together a survey which showed that there are people out in general society who are not using certain aspects of computers and communications because they fear hackers. And you can say, okay, it's silly of them to fear that, but they fear that. That fear is out there. I've talked to a lot of people in the last 6 months, just in the neighborhood, in the local restaurant. People see you reading a computer magazine. They ask you questions. They say, what about this internet? It sounds really good, but what are my risks if I go on there? Am I going to get hacked? And so on. I would say that you could argue that hacking acts as a brake on people's uptake of technology. And it sucks because it's illegal, right? We don't do illegal things, right? So, okay. So, what I want to know is what's wrong with this picture. Okay. Well, let's take it point by point. Okay. You tell me, does hacking violate people's right to privacy? Not nearly as much as the NSA did. Okay. Okay, individual and corporate privacy, a distinction. Okay. In the Constitution? Oh, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Sorry, could you correct me?
There's an inferred right to privacy. There is no right to privacy.
Ah, okay, very good. There's an inferred right to privacy. This is what I'm looking for, is input. Okay? Okay, not everybody who hacks tries to read email. Yes? Okay, the people who run the network are a greater danger than people coming in from the outside. Sorry? Oh, okay. We're about two levels of argument down there. Let's look at the next point, because this is going somewhere. If you bear with me here, I think this is going somewhere. It increases the cost of communications and computers. Is that true?
Yes.
No.
Okay, okay. Well, wait a minute. We're not going by a show of hands here because it's dark, and I'm old and aging and my eyesight is failing, but.
Level of applause.
Okay, how many people think it increases the cost of computers and communication? Okay. How many people think it doesn't? Okay. Okay. We've got an interesting voice here. We need to make a distinction. Well, maybe we'll do that in a moment. Okay. But does anybody doubt that if I go out with a fake credit card and order a whole bunch of stuff? Okay. Great. That's not hacking. That's useful to know. Okay. We'll come back to that. Causes problems for other people. Does hacking cause problems for other people?
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of problems do you think it causes? All systems had to work. Okay. Well, hey, I mean, that might not be a problem. That might be keeping the guy in a job, but... It's job, yeah. Hacking is sponsored by the sysadmins union to keep people in a job. Okay. It deters people from using computers and communications. No. They don't care. Okay. Okay. Here's the question, okay? Okay. You're in a shopping mall, and a bunch of people walk through who are playing loud music and shouting to each other and are occasionally knocking a few things over as they go. That's not hacking. That's not carding. But does it deter people from going to that mall if the mall doesn't stop people doing that? Okay. Okay. It attracts other people. Okay. For all the people that hacking deters, it brings a bunch of people into computers to do hacking. Okay. Okay. And it's illegal. Hacking's illegal, right? Okay. Oh, we'll pull the plug on that one. Okay. What we've seen is I would suggest a public perception of what hacking is and why hacking sucks. And we've heard a lot of objections to that, a lot of people wanting to make distinctions about what really constitutes hacking. People saying, well, no, that's not hacking, that's cracking, or that's criminal hacking. Okay. Cracking is kind of a handy word, but the problem is the people who do it would then be called crackers, and that's been used for several other things now. If you go to the down south around Georgia and Florida, there's a whole bunch of people who are called that. Some of them proud to be called that. And that has nothing to do with computers. So, there's an image problem, there's a perception problem, and what I've seen, and I said earlier, I've been impressed with what I've seen here. I have not seen here the sort of classic, maybe, media example of the hacker. I've not met people, I haven't talked to anybody, and I've been around talking, I haven't talked to anybody who hasn't thought about what they're doing. And I've been impressed by the number of people who have thought through the implications of what they're doing. And I've been impressed by the number of people who want to make a distinction
between different types of hacking. I've realized that, hey, I might be a cracker. A hacker. I was interested in signing up for that trip to Dreamland. Walking through the desert to get to somewhere like that, that you could say was hacking. And you can put hacking in a lot of different lights, and the problem that I see is that there's a large gap between what some people here think they're doing and what people out there think they're doing. So, yeah, how do we change this? Now, I'm going to provide some suggestions. Somebody has suggested I might need to stop the sound from playing, and
that's a feature.
The problem I'm working with here is a touch screen. There we go. Very good. So, these, and you'll forgive me if they're naive, maybe. You'll forgive me if I'm out of places making these suggestions, but I see a long-term problem if this situation continues. If this gap between public perception and reality continues, I see problems. So I'd like maybe to suggest some things that might make a difference. Organize. Okay? This at first might sound totally alien to hacking culture. But I'll say it anyway. What if there was a union of hackers? A hackers union, and you signed up and you paid your dues, and there were benefits, like a free route, like a legal defense fund. As we get older, group medical insurance, discounts on Hertz rental cars, but being part of this union involved a certain level of commitment to a certain set of standards, okay, that would make a distinction between the good hackers and the bad hackers, the criminal hackers, the legal hackers, and so on. Okay. Draw lines. Okay. Make clearer, in ways that you have available to you, the distinctions between the different types of hacking. And I've had this happen. I write a monthly column in a magazine, and I have used the term hackers, and I've had email from people saying, no, you've got it wrong, that's not what a hacker is. And doing that helps. Okay? So if you see someone using the term in the media or the press or whatever, and you see them using it incorrectly, point it out to them. Over the years, I've written a fair amount of stuff in books and magazines, and one thing that I've learned is that writers don't get much mail. Okay? So you might think, I'm not going to send a letter to this guy or this person who wrote this book, because they'd never respond to me. You'd be surprised how many authors are pleased to get input, to get response, and your response can make a difference. In places that you can, point out the differences between the different types of hacking. Self-policing, okay? If there are people out there doing bad things in your name, and I don't mean your personal name, but I mean in the name of the thing that you like to do, maybe some self-policing is involved. Okay? And again, the idea of a union would be you didn't belong if you didn't stick to some basic agreed principles. Become proactive. Earlier we said, some people think hacking sucks because it's illegal. It's a thing some people in this country have. If it's illegal, they think it's bad. Not everybody's like that. Most of us have laws that we flaunt on a regular basis, such as the speed limit. But if the law is wrong, in your opinion. And if some of the things that you like to do are illegal and you think they should be legal, well, you can change the law. You have... Okay, I'm not saying tomorrow, but I don't think it's something to be sniffed at. In our society, we have the ability to change the law. And it doesn't exist in every society. In this society, it does. If you live in most states, there are things called initiated measures you can use to change the law. And if you get enough people to agree with you, and it doesn't have to be a huge number of people, but if you sign up enough people to agree with you, you can get a law put on the ballot for everybody to vote on. And if everybody agrees with it, it becomes the law. And that form of democracy is fairly unique to this country, but it is there and it does exist. Alternative hacking. Boy, I'm not quite sure what I was thinking then. This was pretty late last night. Okay. There are a number of things I've seen here that did not, before I got here, occur to me as hacking. Okay. And this is perhaps part of getting the message out. Working on captive systems, for example. That is, setting up some systems of your own and hacking them. It's not what people out there would think of as hacking, because people out there are thinking, oh, well, it's messing with other people's computers. There's a lot of things that could still be fun, even if it wasn't somebody else's computer that you were playing with. Okay, so what I think we need to be doing is asking the real question, which is not why hacking sucks. Okay. We should be asking, when does hacking suck? Okay. We need to think about what situations constitute the wrong kind of hacking. And I'm just going to throw these out, and they're my personal opinion, and if you think they suck, let me know. Okay. I think hacking sucks when it does invade people's privacy. And Okay. What I think you have there is a very interesting situation, which I would characterize as a question of ends versus means. And I would say that whenever you're committing actions that involve that kind of equation, you have to be very careful. Because a lot of the things that I've heard people here complain about or object to in the way that our government does things are that same thing, where certain parts of the government do things in a certain way because they believe the ends that they're accomplishing are right. For example, we keep secret something that we as taxpayers have spent large amounts of money on, and which a lot of us feel we have a right to know about. But we keep it secret because some people think the ends, which is national security, justify the means, which basically come down to lying. Okay? So, I'm not going to say that good hasn't come of hacking at all. What I'm saying, though, is if you're setting out to pursue, or maybe you didn't set out to pursue, but if you're invading, doing things which come close to or include invading someone's privacy, does the fact that in the end you found something useful to the rest of society justify you doing that? Because you get close then to the NSA listening in to all our phone calls in case we say something bad. Okay. Causes escalation. Okay. I see a problem if sort of unmitigated, mindless hacking continues, that we get to a point of escalation. That is, although this might sound far-fetched, big companies actually get security measures that work. Okay? They tighten things up. They make it harder to hack. They make it more difficult to get in there. They make their systems tighter and tighter. Okay, what's the point? What's the point of them making their systems more secure? Okay. So we're saying hacking does cause escalation, and this is good. Okay. Hold on. Okay. All right. I if my pen was working, I would do the little editing and change that maybe. What I'm saying is, when is enough enough?
Never.
It's evolution. Okay. But it is the evolution towards armed camps. Is the evolution towards the evolution that you're getting in some areas of this country right now, where people are saying, well, there's too much crime on the streets and not enough policemen. We'll ignore for the fact that I voted down the last bond issue to finance policemen, but there's a lot of disorder. I'm going to get a gun. They've got guns. I'm getting a gun. They've got really, really good guns. I'm going to get a really, really good gun. Okay? At some point in making things more and more secure, let's just leave it at this then. We have to think about where we're going. What constitutes a good result of the escalation?
Okay.
Right. Okay. I mean, I can go with that. I said these were suggestions. Yeah. And I wanted to hear what you would say about them. This feedback is good in the sense that you guys have thought about this. You know. Sorry. Okay. It's better if you guys find out than the bad guys find out. Smallpox, you know, I think we're going for an analogy here. Okay. So you guys are inoculating us.
Yes.
All right. Okay. We can maybe come back to that one. Let's look at this one. Deters others. Now, we've had the show of hands, and no, it doesn't stop people getting into computing. Okay. I think there is a certain element, and it's maybe not you guys, but there's a certain amount of techno snobbery that goes around, which kind of suggests that if somebody has an account on AOL, then, like, they suck. They do. I would suggest that any freedom-loving democratic American is going to reject the idea that because they use a computer system you don't like, they don't have a right to use a computer system. Now, let me maybe turn that around and say, do we like the idea of everybody using computer systems? Do we think that it's a good idea that everybody can have a computer system and can communicate with other computer users? Okay. Keeps us all employed. Okay, because I would here step back a little bit and say that some of the people that I admire at the beginning of what then became the microcomputer revolution had that in mind. They had the idea when they built these small things that weren't sold by IBM that would give access to everybody and would mean that there wasn't a monopoly on computing power amongst large corporations and the government. Okay? I think we have to be a little bit careful, and I'm including me in this, that we don't get too far ahead of everybody else to the point where we intimidate the hell out of them, we discourage them from starting on their journey of exploration.
Oh, okay, okay.
There's a specific reason that AOL sucks here, right? Okay. 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 It's not the part of cyberspace that you guys want to hang out in, and I can understand that. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. That sucks. We'd like a society where that doesn't happen. Okay. I'm sorry. I was born at a time that led me to be in my teens when the 60s happened, and I've got this weird idea that it's one day all going to be very nice and we're going to enjoy living together in harmony. So. Okay, wastes talent. I think that. Okay. No. Wait. Look what it says at the top. It says, when does hacking suck? It means hacking sucks if it wastes talent. Okay? If people get into this and go down the wrong road, in the wrong direction, they're going to waste talents which could be better directed. Okay? I would suggest, seriously, that people consider moving up over ground sometimes with some of the things they're doing. I think that there's a lot of talent, and that's what I mean. I mean, I wouldn't say waste talent if I didn't think there was somebody who wasted. I see a lot of talent. I see a lot of potential that people have to do better with products out there than what we've got. I mean, Windows 95. You know, somebody's got to be able to write something better than that. By the way, I don't have any documentation of this, but except from the fact that it happened, I put Windows 95 on a Pentium machine that I'm not rich enough to own, but someone's lending it to me, and now my CMOS is corrupted, and I can't get it uncorrupted. I've taken Windows 95 off, the machine's still in a mess. Anyway. Okay, when does hacking suck? Hacking sucks, we've all agreed on this now, that when it hurts other people, okay? We don't want to hurt other people. This is good. When does hacking suck? When it costs other people time, money, and jobs. Now, again, we're going to get, I think, into a bit more debate on this. We're talking about system administrators who aren't doing their job. If it costs them their job because you hacked into our system, some people are going to say, this is okay. Or let me ask. If you hack into a system, and because that system was exposed and you got in, and the guy who was running it loses his job, is that okay? Should have been smart. Okay, okay. Okay. We have a good suggestion here. Expose it. What if you got in there? Sorry?
If I found some particular flaw, in Roger Franklin's system, I got an email and saying, look, I'm just going to step on your toes here rather than go to media.
Okay, okay. I like that. Okay. And this is maybe where I'll sort of try and start to wrap this up. What if you get in the system and the system's wide open and it's got a lot of problems? Do you tell them?
Yeah.
I mean, let's have a show of hands. Who does tell them? Okay. My eyesight's getting better. I can adjust it to the dark here. Okay. Some people do that. Okay. If you get into the system and it's wide open, it's got a lot of problems, do you tell other people? You tell everyone. Okay. 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 You post the information. Okay. Do you post it to the person who runs the system? If he reads 2600, okay. What? Just a small suggestion would be that the democratic thing would be to let everybody know, including the person who owns the system. What I'm going to suggest here might be something like sympathy for the devil. That is, the guys out there who are running, or the people out there, I was actually using guys in the non-gender specific Californian sense, but the people out there who are running the system, they've got a full plate. They're not all stupid. A lot of them are, their problem is they're short of resources. If you look at surveys in the mainstream literature, one of the biggest problems that the people running the systems have is getting the resources from management to run the systems. Okay? So there's a lot of guys out there who know their systems aren't as good as they could be. They're fighting to get resources to do a better job.
Are they really getting fired?
I do not know. That was an example, something to think about. Okay? I would say it's not, from my experience, inconceivable that if the problem was bad enough, they get hired. But that would raise the question of maybe they deserve to be. But what I'm saying is, what I was trying to lead to with that is, if the information you find out about their system comes back to them, that's, I think, good. If you find out information about their system and tell other people who may or may not use it wisely, I think that's a slightly grayer area, and so on. Okay, just some final ideas. We've got another repeating soundbite here. Let's hear it, okay.
I find a way out or I die in this diseased mainframe.
What's that from? Right. He gets a prize. Okay. Let's...
He gets a motor.
Okay.
There wasn't much on that last screen. Did anybody see it? Oh, no. Rears its ugly head. I found that most of the speakers had a lot of success with that. Bringing sex into it. So I thought to sort of fend off any lingering animosity here, I might talk about sex for a minute. No. Sex, it actually said sex and information. Nobody actually called out the information bit, I don't think. Sex and information. What was the word that they used in the King James Bible for getting laid?
Knowledge of.
Knowledge of. Okay. There's a sense, I think, several senses, in which sex is about information. First time, surely it's about information. You want to know what it's like. But we keep doing it, so that's probably because it feels good. But then we sometimes want to do it with other people. Now, we've got to, other than the first one. Okay. We want to have knowledge of more than one other person besides ourselves. Okay. So we're looking for information. Next time you're getting into it, think about it as information. Think about what happens when it goes all the way in this conception and the genetic information gets exchanged. Okay. I don't think that's for me. Okay. Something else about information and sex that's the same. that come, in my opinion, with responsibility. That is, like I said, I was a teenager in the 60s, and boy, the best thing I ever heard about when I was 14 was free love. I thought, this is a great idea. You know, where do I sign up? How do I run away to San Francisco? Because I was living in an industrial city in the middle of England, and we only got news reports. So, it took me a while. It took me several years, but then I started to actually experience this thing, and I found that it wasn't quite as simple as that. It wasn't quite as simple as anybody who wants to make love to anybody else who wants to make love to them can make love to them. It wasn't quite that simple. It came with strings attached. It came with consequences. And information, I think, is the same thing. I don't feel that we can say, here's a piece of information. I don't say what you should do with it. I don't care whether it is, here's just a piece of information. If we think about it, handing out information, which I think we should be doing, I'm all for the free exchange of information, but by doing that, we do incur consequences. If you give information to people, make information available, it has consequences. And we need to think, when we do make information available, what those consequences might be. Anyway, that's it. Thank you very much. I apologize for the technical difficulties. I really appreciate your input. And now, yeah, questions. Turn up the lights.
Yeah, turn the lights.
Whoever happens to be nearest, please. And who won the prize? Okay. You get your pick of a motherboard without a CPU.
Yes, sir. Okay, good point. So excited, you guys were reading the screens. Okay. The question is, right at the beginning, why was that statement there, hacking should not be tolerated in any shape or form? That comes back to the thing that several speakers addressed yesterday, which is, what's happening out there? Remember, out there is where people have this certain picture of hacking. What we're seeing is a level of response to things which is scary. Okay? We have people, and some of them I in a former lifetime were my boss and I worked for them, who are in the Senate presenting ideas like a chip in a TV to block programs. I mean, how stupid can you get? That is just seems a complete lack of understanding of technology. Look at the Exxon bill. I think we'll probably have something coming up to do with gambling. Okay, we're in Las Vegas. I'm not sure if it's opened yet, but it's opening in August. A casino on the internet. Is it already open? The one in Anguilla or Antigua? Okay. I have read in Florida where I live. Come get me. In Florida where I live, there are people in the state government actually pondering aloud how they can detect gambling information traveling over the net, over the phones. Okay. There are people out there who have a complete lack of understanding of technology. Now, one might say that they're to be scorned and to be derided. Maybe more gentle to say they should be pitied. They certainly need to be educated. Okay? They need to be educated about what technology does, what its limits are. You're the guys who are finding out that it has limits and that there are some things that work and some things that don't. So, I would hate to see somebody say hacking in any shape or form is to be outlawed. But that's the way things could go if this trend continues. To put it on a lighter note, I'll tell you even closer to where I live, which is just down the road from the space shuttle, okay, from the launch pad where we sent a man to the moon that had to be gender specific. No. We sent a person to the moon from there. They recently passed an ordinance which banned nude bathing. Except you can't ban nude bathing because if you get out into the water, it's outside the county jurisdiction. But and also the place where some people actually were nude bathing and had been for 20 years is so far away, you have to drive to the end of this road and then get out and walk for a mile. But they kept pushing and they banned nude bathing, and not just nude bathing, but thong bikinis, not just on the beach, but anywhere in public. And the clincher for me was all forms of male garment which permit discernible turgidity. So there's a lot of education needs to be done. Next question. The actually statement, rather than question, but that's okay, was hacking is pushing people towards encryption, and this person feels that encryption is what will give people security rather than totally tight fortress systems. Is that? Right. All right. Yeah. Let me say one more thing about this gathering. Are we wrapping up here?
Yeah.
One more thing about this gathering is that these things make a difference. And you know, if you're Nelson Mandela and you're in jail and it's year 20, protesting might not seem like it makes a difference, but eventually he got out and now he's the president of the country. Some things take a long time to happen, but they happen little by little, and every little bit helps. About 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, I was at a NIST conference, and the gentleman who was here the other day from the Electronic Frontier Foundation was on a panel talking about the Clipper chip. And I went into that discussion of two minds. I spent a lot of time in Britain where we have a lot of problem with terrorists and terrorism, and I was tending to agree with the government position at that point. He said some things and that made me think, and now I'd say my position has completely changed on that. Yeah. And so arguments reasonably presented and kept up can make a difference. Okay. One more question.
So while you're totally correct that hacking ultimately costs money in a perverse economic way, it creates jobs. Sidewinder wouldn't exist if the motivation for it. Having speakers up here for the whole couple of days wouldn't even have jobs if it wasn't for
corporations. It's a point taken, but my comeback's going to have to be, I don't want to have to build a computer system just to run Sidewinder. Maybe that's naive. I'd like it if we didn't have to have things like that. It probably is naive. The other thing is that maybe it would be a good idea if security consultants had as their ultimate goal the same goal that doctors have, is to put themselves out of a job. So I'll leave you with that one.